Good morning, everyone. Christ is risen. And that Easter response, truly he is risen, that is the heart of this gospel. It's the culmination at the very end of this gospel. Truly he is risen. On the road to Emmaus, two disciples were walking. And to hear both literally what we hear, but also what's symbolically behind everything that's detailed, that here they are, two disciples, and this is at dusk on Easter Sunday evening. And they had heard from the women who had gone out early that morning to the tomb and had found it empty, and the angels had declared to them, "He is not here, he is risen." The women came back and declared, "Christ is risen." Peter and John raced to the tomb. John was a little faster. They saw the very same thing. They came back and reported to the others that what the women had said was true. Christ is risen. These two disciples, though, they had heard that. And yet, they are walking away from Jerusalem, downhill into the gathering darkness. Where is the church located? It is in Jerusalem at this moment. It was in the upper room. They are leaving the church. They are descending. Jerusalem is the city on the hill. They are descending. They are going down into the gathering spiritual darkness. And who are these two disciples? One we hear named Cleopas. We've heard just of Cleopas from his wife. His wife Mary was at the foot of the cross. She remained with him till the very end. So tradition holds that these two are the husband and wife, Cleopas and his wife Mary. But the other is not named. Actually, we hear Cleopas and the other is not named, and it's purposeful because it's meant for us to put ourselves in the place of this other disciple. They had heard that Christ is risen. Maybe, they thought. But their hearts are crushed because they're walking away, down, and into the darkness. And they're arguing amongst themselves. They're trying to make sense of everything that had just happened. And as they're walking on the way to Emmaus, Jesus begins to walk with them. Yet, their eyes are prevented from recognizing him. And you hear this, and I could see you guys, and you're like, whatever. Really? They'd been with him all that time, and they didn't have like an inkling of, doesn't this kind of look like Jesus? I mean, yeah, it's his glorified body and stuff, but there's got to be some resemblance. They don't recognize him at all, but no. Their eyes were prevented from recognizing him as they're trying to make sense of what happened. And why is this? This happens with you and I, dang near all the time. St. John Paul II said, and he came back to this point again and again and again and again and again. He said, our lives are a mystery to ourselves. Your life is a mystery to yourself in the sense of it doesn't make sense except in the light of Jesus Christ. They were walking. They were looking back and trying to make sense of everything that had just happened, and their hearts are crushed. Their hope had been snuffed out. But they were not looking for Jesus, nor were they expecting him as they walked along. They were trying to make sense of it in every other way, and they did not recognize him. For you in your own lives, especially in the times and the circumstances that maybe you're in the midst of or you look back on, where your heart had been crushed and your hope had been snuffed out, and you're trying to make sense of it, and you're analyzing it from every angle. well, what happened to me in the past? And trying to piece it together and just get it where it makes sense. But he doesn't. And so you just take this label and slap it on, which says, well, everything happens for a reason. Kind of not. It's not really true. It's kind of true. It's vague enough where it sounds nice. And you're unable to recognize him. Because oftentimes what we do is we're not looking for him. We're not expecting him with us in the midst of it. And we don't recognize Christ. And not recognizing him, we're not able to make sense of it. It just doesn't make sense. But as Jesus begins to walk with them, they're not able to recognize him. But he asks them, what are you discussing as you walk? And this is one of the funniest exchanges, I think, in all of Scripture. They're like, are you the only person who's been in Jerusalem these past days who doesn't have a clue what's just happened? Jesus responds, what sort of things? He's the only one who has a real clue of what has gone on in its entirety. And so he reveals to them as they explain. He reveals to them their slowness to believe, their lack of faith. Where there was this Jesus, the Nazarene, a great prophet, and we had really hoped that he would be the one, the Messiah, but they took him and they killed him. And what Jesus does, after revealing to them their unbelief, is he breaks open the scriptures for them and he shows that everything within the scriptures, the prophets, the patriarchs, all of it points toward the Christ. The only way that any of the scriptures make sense is in light of him, the Christ, who had to come and suffer and die and be raised. But here's the thing, everyone. Jesus gives to them the greatest Bible study that has ever happened in the entirety of history. And so he gives to them this great Bible study in which he opens it up for them and makes all of it in its clarity show how it points back to the Christ. And their hearts, it does something, because they recall later, were not our hearts on fire as he opened the scriptures to us? But even though they had just had this, the greatest Bible study ever, it was not enough. It wasn't enough. The scriptures alone were not enough. Yes, it set their hearts on fire, but yet they could not recognize him still until they arrived at Emmaus and they urged him as the darkness was enveloping them, stay with us. And when he takes the bread, breaks it. He takes it, he blesses it, he breaks it, and he gives it to them. And it's only in the breaking of the bread in the Eucharist that he confesses right there in their midst that their eyes are opened and they are able to recognize him in the breaking of the bread. And they're present in the Eucharist. He vanishes from their sight because he is truly present there in that sacrament. That all the scriptures, and this is the flow of the Mass, from the Word of God, which all of it points to Jesus, who is truly present in our midst in the sacrament of the Eucharist. Everything in the scriptures and everything in our lives makes sense in light of the Paschal mystery of Jesus Christ, which all of that, his passion, his death, and his resurrection, is present there in the Eucharist. This self-giving love of God. It fully reveals who God is, and it fully reveals who you are, and the meaning and the purpose of everything in our lives. It's the Eucharist that reveals this to us. As you know, we were together, all the priests in the diocese, at the clergy conference this week. And one of the amazing things, and it's just, you know, you get to know the guys over the years, and when you're seminarians, you get together once a summer and you share your vocation stories. And so it's not like we're this week sitting around sharing our vocation stories or something, but as I'm sitting at one of the tables for one of the meals, I'm looking around and I'm thinking, every single guy that was sitting there, I knew their vocation story. And you know what was at the heart of each one of them? And this was some guys who they had been far away from the faith and had radical conversions. Others who, from when they were young boys, they were thinking about being a priest. At the very heart of every one of their vocation stories, and my own, it's the Eucharist. It was only sitting there before the Eucharist, or beginning to receive Him daily in the Eucharist, where He revealed the meaning of our lives and the calling of our lives. He is there. His real presence. And He makes sense of all of it to us. Because everything in history and in Scripture, it culminates in the Eucharist, where truly He is risen and truly He is present. And so what do these disciples do as they recognize Him? They run back that night, back uphill toward the church, back into the light of truth, and they declare to those who had proclaimed to them that morning that Christ is risen, they declare, truly He is risen. And this is you and I as well. You've heard from the age of like, where you've been able to understand it, 3-4 years old. What is Easter about? It's about the resurrection of Jesus. He is risen from the dead. And maybe you go years and years of hearing this. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. But it's only when one is able to encounter Jesus on the way, where He reveals to you, present, Him present in the midst of everything, and He's able to make sense of your life. It's only then when you encounter Him and receive Him that you're able to say in response to those who declare again and again Christ is risen, yes, yes, truly He is risen. And your life then becomes about the evangelization of this, that faith, it grows when it's shared and when it's brought to others, this truth of Christ truly with us. He who is the light that unveils the meaning and the purpose and the sense of every human life. This gospel, it culminates in that great Easter response that they had heard, Christ is risen, to which they are able to respond to that with the entirety of their hearts, truly. You guys missed it. Christ is risen. Amen.